Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Line forms on the right, babe. Yeah, it's good to be back.
Not that Maggie.
On the fan, McMonagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. It's back. The forever holiday. My goodness, it's been 2 weeks. We're back. Back to normal. Jack on the other side, 888-808-1019. Taking your calls till 5 o'clock in the warm show. And yeah, it finally is back. I mean, the kids are still off till Monday, and I just got notification that it might snow up by me on Monday, 3 to 6 inches. They'll probably have off on Monday, too. I love them, but I'm never getting rid of them. But that comes with the plan, right? But my wife is off. Everyone's off. Feels like it's been forever. It's good to be back here on a football Friday, no less. Our last football Friday, and thank the good Lord. Of all the great Christmas presents we might have gotten all year, the idea that this is the last football Friday, at least for here and locally, obviously, as the playoffs will start. And we had college football, obviously Notre Dame with a big win, and we'll continue to have, you know, another 3 college football games. But the last football Friday for our 2 locals, and it could be a last for a lot of different people. Obviously, the Jets are looking for a new GM, looking for a new head coach. They just finalize the meeting with Lewis Reddick for their position. We're going to get to Aaron Rodgers and some of the things I've heard out of him and maybe looking forward with Aaron Rodgers back with this team, as that's a forever conversation. But for the Giants, it might well be the last game of Shane and Dable. It might very well be the last opportunity to get a quarterback. And yes, I'm hung up on the quarterback. We'll talk about Saquon Barkley. I'm obviously having his fun with a sleeping commercial, which I actually got a kick out of. And that's the new me in the new year. Maybe it'll laugh at things, maybe a little bit. The Saquon Barkley commercial I can laugh at. All the memes on New Year's Eve about Aaron Judge dropping the baseball, I've actually been able to chuckle at a little bit. I'm feeling a little bit better, trying to have a better outlook on things. But the New York Giants are still pissing me off. And this Sunday, make no mistake, it's the first time in weeks that I am absolutely glued to the television. This is the most important Giants football game they have played in a long time. And it's frustrating that this is the circumstances, but this is it. Because I firmly believe, and I know many of you don't, and I find it funny, the quarterback conversation around these parts, because, you know, I understand that these aren't the greatest prospects in the history of the world. I understand this is not Andrew Luck. I understand this is not Trevor Lawrence. I understand this is not John Elway. I understand these, you know, Peyton Manning. It's not one of the great draft classes of all time, but we've seen great draft classes be terrible at the top and bottom. We've seen poor quarterbacks we didn't think would be anything. Like, we've seen it up and down, and I know that's part of the crapshoot of the draft and why many of you, for whatever reason, aren't hung up on it. But the fact of the matter is, where the Giants could fall in this game if they were to win it against an Eagles team that's not going to try, right? An Eagles team that is not playing Saquon Barkley, even though he's poised to break the rushing record. He's satisfied with 200. Apparently, he's sleeping well at night with 2,000, rather, excuse me. Apparently, he's sleeping just fine heading into a game and not needing to play as he's getting ready for the playoffs, and the Giants are getting ready to figure out who the hell they are and who they're going to be led by, and where they're going to draft. And for me, I believe the Giants need to draft a quarterback. That's what the Giants need to do. I'm in that camp. I listened a lot to the afternoon show today, and I know a lot of you out there have been hitting me up on Twitter. I know many of you don't believe that. And this is where the entire season is won or lost for me. Because for me to go through this year, as miserable as it was, and the prospects of next year, and me and Keith talked about this the other day, and they were talking about on the morning show, the home schedule for next year, even though they're a last place finish, is going to be brutal. The prospects of the Giants winning next year are very low. We are going to continue to have losing football with the New York Giants, one way or another. And maybe the draft class will be better next year and you can find pieces. I can't continue to play this game. I don't care what it's going to look like next year. I need to find the quarterback for the future of this team. And drafting one of these two quarterbacks that are pro quarterback prospects. Make no mistake, Sanders and Ward are two of a handful of players that are being talked about as legitimate first-round grades. It's not just the quarterback position that's light in this NFL draft. You could argue the entire draft is a light draft this year compared to some others. And if the New York Giants win this game and they fall to 8 or 9, it is going to be exceedingly difficult to move up and get that quarterback. This is a huge game for the New York Giants and the future of the franchise. So much is based on this meaningless game that the Eagles won't care about. It will determine so many things, including for me, the value of keeping the GM and the head coach. Because for me, this regime, although Joe Shane has drafted fairly well this last draft, at least that. Let's give him, he's had some bust. Evan Neal's a colossal miss. Like, he's had some terrible drafts. This last draft was pretty good, right? He's drafted, he got a running back, he got some defensive backs. Like, this last draft was a positive for Joe Shane. And if you're basing it just on that moving forward with Joe Shane, okay. But the fact of the matter to me is, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, in my opinion, should be tied at the hip. And if they aren't going to get a young quarterback, if they're going to go a different route here, it's a tough sell for me on these two. And that's kind of what Evan was talking about today, and I understand his point, and we've mentioned it too, the idea of these two needing to get a quarterback. Well, here's what I'll say on a couple of different things about this regime and the idea if they need to get a quarterback. Because if they believe they need to get a quarterback, they better lose this game. Because I don't think, as much as I will tell you, that I believe Sanders can be a quarterback in the NFL, and I believe Ward can be a quarterback in the NFL, I don't know if it's worth trading up from 8 or 9. I don't see a path that far away from the top of this draft. And make no mistake, they're going 1-2. The quarterbacks are going 1-2. Whether New England's drafting there or someone else is drafting there, they will trade out if they don't want a quarterback. Anyone sitting 1 or 2 will either draft a quarterback or trade to someone who will draft a quarterback. That's what's going to happen in this NFL draft. So that's where the Giants need to be if they are going to draft one of these young quarterbacks. And if they are picking 8th or 9th, I honestly don't believe, I do believe that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll want to stay, clearly. And there's just a report out now that Brian Daboll's already putting together an extensive plan to show ownership why he deserves to stay. And clearly, drafting a young quarterback and giving that project, because that's what young quarterbacks are. Some win right away, Jaden Daniels. Some take time, Josh Allen. Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, if they get that project, are going to be given time. So that's one fear I want to relieve, that I think, you know, we have this belief that if they lose again, and next year is going to be a John Mara is not an idiot. As much as we have disagreed with some of his decisions, as much as he's been a bad hire, as much as we talk about owners who get their job and get the ownership of the team through their father, have failed, Woody Johnson, you know, or James Dolan, and all the rich, the people who haven't made it, their money on their own to buy the team, who've come from rich families and been able to be put in this position because of their fathers. As much as we're down on John Mara at the moment, flying planes over the building, I don't believe him to be an idiot. And if he is going to give Joe Shane and Brian Daboll an opportunity to move forward with this organization, when you look at the schedule next year, when you look at where this roster is, whether they draft a quarterback or not, but particularly if they draft the quarterback, they are not pulling the string on Shane and Daboll after one more year of non-success when they just allowed them to draft or and or trade up for or push it down the line. No matter what you look at, if they're allowed to take a quarterback, there is no way that this owner is going to pull the plug a year in when you allow someone to make that decision. And this has been the fear of a lot of people that, oh, Shane and Daboll, if you let them trade up for a quarterback, if you let them make this pick and then they lose again next year, well, now you can't keep them after another year of losing. Yes, you can. If you stick with Shane and Daboll off of the last 3 years, if the last 3 years and the last 2 years in particular, obviously, of losing wasn't enough to cost them their jobs on the 100-year anniversary, going 1-8 at home, having a dead season again by October, showing some of the most inept offense from an offensive head coach that we have seen, especially in their building, in the history of the New York Giants, if that isn't enough, if the plan is still to show faith in them, if the plan is still to believe in what they're selling, if the plan is to allow them to make a decision like who's the franchise quarterback for the next 10 years, and what they do with a first overall pick or a fourth overall pick or to continue along after this miserable year, you are investing years into them. You are allowing them to continue with this rebuild. You are not, no matter how ugly it gets next year, going to pull the rug out from under them then. That would make no sense. It's either now or you believe in the process with them. And especially if they trade up for a quarterback. So it's not like, oh, I'm afraid that if I keep Shane and Daboll, and I allow them to make a blockbuster move like trading up from 4, trading up from 5, to get that first pick and draft a young quarterback, if it doesn't go well next year, well, now I'm firing them and this next regime and head coach is stuck with this quarterback that they might not love. I don't buy that at all. I don't think that's a fear. If they're allowed to do something like that, you best bet that John Mara is going to allow them to see it through. Because again, next year is not going to be pretty. What does John Mara think? Look at what they've done the last 2 years. Look at this roster that's got one Pro Bowler on it. One Pro Bowler from both teams in New York. Dexter Lawrence is the only Pro Bowler on this New York Giant football team. They've got some young talent. They've got a young running back, a young stud wide receiver, a couple of defensive backs, a left tackle that, if healthy, is one of the top in the league. They have some ability. But if you draft a young quarterback, and especially one that isn't expected to step right into the NFL and dominate, you know what next year is going to look like. It would be foolish for this owner to allow them to make that move and then pull the rug. If he is sticking with them, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are going to be here for the next 2-3 years. Mark my words. And I'm sorry, I fall into the camp that this team, unless they have the quarterback position solved, you don't have anything solved. Sure, are there other teams who've won in different ways? Sure. Can you bring in a Sam Darnold and make it work? Yes. Are there other ways to go win? Absolutely. Are there easier ways? No, there aren't. And if Shane and Daboll love the quarterback, you have to go get him. That is the quickest way to turn this team around. And that's why the loss against the win against the Colts was so devastating. And that's why this game against the nemesis, Philadelphia Eagles, will determine, in my mind, many things. Because if I'm the owner of this football team, and I have an honest conversation with them and say, well, if we're drafting eighth or ninth, what is the realistic chances of moving up to the top of the draft? Because it's one thing to be at the top of the draft and just take a pick, right? Even if you're not sure on Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, if you're just sitting there at number one, the juice is worth the squeeze with a quarterback, because you could be wrong on any position, as we've seen. We've seen busts at every single position. None of them, if you're right, changes your team the way the quarterback does. So if you're sitting there 1-2, even if you're not sure, you have to take a quarterback. I remember I was talking with Nick Costos the day I filled in with Sal, and I told him my concern about a new regime coming in. He wants Brian Daboll and everybody fired. And I'm like, what if a new regime comes in and doesn't want a quarterback? He's like, Chris, if they're drafting first or second, they have to take a quarterback. There'll be mutiny. Now I'm starting to feel that way. Like, even if you're at the top of the draft, you have to take a quarterback. And if you have one, then you trade back. And that's why we all still have hope that it's possible, because New England's drafting first and they have the answer at quarterback. If you're at the top, you take a quarterback. The Giants were there. Shane and Daboll were there to draft a young quarterback and take their chances that they could develop him and that he was the right guy. But to move up, to give up draft equity from 4, if they love him, I do it. If you just like him and you're sitting there, you have to. If you're at 4 and you love him, you have to. If you're at 8 and you love him, you have to, but it's damn near impossible. So oddly enough, in my mind, right now, as Brian Daboll's preparing some sort of plan to provide John Mara with some sort of manifesto, some 400-page booklet like Bill Belichick prepared for the Carolina Tar Heels, like as he's preparing to keep his job, in my mind, he better freaking lose the game. Because if he wins it, if he has another culture win to end the season, and he puts himself, and he puts Joe Shane, and he puts the organization in an almost impossible place to get one of those two quarterbacks, well, now it becomes a hell of a lot less imperative to keep an offensive coach whose calling card is working with young quarterbacks. Plain and simple. I'm not worried about moving up and losing Shane and Daboll. I'm not worried about forcing the young quarterback in a situation. I'm worried that they won't be able to. If there isn't a young quarterback on this roster because they can't move up, because there's going to be other teams that might need a quarterback between 1 and 8 that New England would rather trade with. Forget what you're willing to give up. Forget that you want to. Forget that you love him. Forget that you need Sanders. You believe in him. You want him. You want Ward. You believe in him. You're going to go up and try and trade for him. At 8 or 9, you might not be able to. It takes 2 to tango. At 4, possible. At 8, damn near impossible. Very difficult. So forget whether or not they should move up, and whether or not they're forced to move up, or whether or not you feel like this regime is tied to a quarterback. Forget that. They should be. The Giants should do everything they could to get a quarterback. But if they can't, what do I need them for? I'm going to watch this game hoping they lose so the coach can stay. Hoping they lose so that they can find a pathway to get the young quarterback. Because if they win the game, I don't care that Brian Daboll rallied the troops. I don't care that on the last 2 weeks of the season, he beat a Colts team that didn't seem to give a damn and an Eagles team that surely doesn't give a damn. What the hell do I care? What do I care that he figured out a way to get a bad quarterback to give him good quarterback play for 2 weeks on a dead season after they lost 10 in a row? I don't care. The only thing keeping Brian Daboll as the head coach of the New York Giants is giving him a young quarterback to develop. And if he doesn't have one, even if they want, like at that point, it's going to be a hard thing to sell to me that I'm going to be able. Hey, John, we love him. We're going to go get him. How are you going to get him from 8? And is it worth it to, you know, now you're talking about multiple first-round picks. You are talking about a haul to move up from 8. You can take a risk when it's just a pick. Now it's a pick, and it's 3-4 other picks. This game will determine the structure of the New York Giants for the foreseeable future. It's a meaningless game that the Eagles don't care about, that the running back has an opportunity to break the rushing record and they're sitting him instead. No one cares about this game. And yet it can be a pendulum in what kind of season and, what kind of future the New York Giants have. It's crazy on this Football Friday. Who needs it? I don't need it. We'll get into the Jets as well, as we'll say goodbye to probably the Aaron Rodgers history with the New York Jets, although I don't think they should say goodbye just yet. We'll get to that as well. A little Yankee news and the epiphany I had about the New York Yankees. Or should I say, not so much an epiphany, but I was sitting around today and I was watching Paul Goldschmidt and his media availability, which to me is just dumb. Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm not saying you need a press conference for a one-year signing of a veteran first baseman for $12.5 million, but like, can you give me something, yes? Like, I turn on, Paul Goldschmidt will be on at 1 o'clock. I turn it on. It's like you missed half of the first question. Can you have a little bit of setup? Can you put somebody in the studio to set this thing up? Like, something? I turn it on at 1 o'clock. They're like, I'm watching, I forget what it was, but my son's like, I thought you said we had to take my video game off so I could watch a press conference. I'm like, I thought there was something coming up. And then they cut to it, and it's like half. I missed the beginning part of the first question. Like, if it's just going to be some half-assed Zoom that nobody cares about, just put it out on social media. Oh, I was watching the replay of the net game. But I had, as I was watching that press conference and telling my son, don't worry, we'll get right back to playing Madden, I had a thought. I had something that I just can't seem to get out of my head. So we'll get to that as well. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Taking you all the way to 5 o'clock. 888-808-1019. Your call's next.